Daria.
Talking to me?
Welcome to this episode of Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones podcast hosted by two boys who want to be men, but they're not because they spend most of their time talking about video games and fantasy TV shows. My name's Ben Vernell. My co-host is Adam Knox. Hey, Noxy.
I'm a man. I pay taxes.
Do you?
That's man shit. Yes.
Oh, yeah,
As far as the tax office knows...
You pay tax on all your income.
Full tax.
Also, I'm a man then too, because I've been paying tax for years. And we're reaping the rewards of that. New roads, new public services. It's a great state to live in.
I specify that my taxes only go towards lethal injections. That's... I don't know if we even have them
here
in this country. No, I know.
No.
It's foreign aid, I guess.
Right. You're paying for the American prison system.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't pay my taxes to the government. I just pay taxes. Texas. Fuck, Texas, I mean. Sorry, I've been meaning to say Texas this whole time.
Oh, so that's why they execute so many people, because you're just funding them. You're bankrolling them.
Jeez. I'm doing it. I wanted them to just buy a big mallet that they whack them on the head with. But they were yelling about injections, so we met in the middle.
Fair enough. I guess we're both clearly grown-ups who know what taxes are, where they go, and why we pay them. This week, we're here to talk about... you famously have called this possibly your favorite episode of Game of Thrones.
Bits of it. Rewatching it for this,
yeah.
There's... a couple of just anything that ever happens in Marine, I'm at most 75% enjoying.
Yeah, sure. So do you think that you remembered it as being better because you just forgot the bad bits?
Exactly. Well, the battle at the end is great still.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think I feel about the same as I did the first time, which was really, really impressed. A lot of... just the execution of the episode, more so even than the writing. Like, it's so cinematic. It's so well edited and directed and performed. And, yeah, I think having watched it again, it's risen maybe in my sort of rankings of the episodes overall. I thought it was fantastic.
It's really good. And you're right. It is down to the directing. Miguel Sapochnik, I think, is a big part of why this episode works, which we'll get into in more detail over the course of this podcast.
Shall we start the recap?
I'd love to. We're in Marine to start with. Hooray!
Alrighty.
Daenerys is back. I think the last we saw of Daenerys was her walking through that door and suddenly being back, right?
Yes, it was mid-siege. All that shit was banging on the pyramid, and then she appeared off the balcony. Yeah,
and so now at some point, her and Tyrion have moved into a different room, just on their own, and Daenerys is being sort of like giving Tyrion a look of like, "I'll leave you alone for 1 minute, and look what happens to my fucking city."
Yeah, he's kind of scrambling. He's trying to justify, like, hey, this is actually good because it means, you know, we've made them mad because we're being honorable and we're trying to end slavery and we've really put their noses out of joint. And
it's been great here for a while. We've got so much lethal injection money now. This one, I think Scrooge McDuck, but like psychopathic, is just giving us money for that, which is weird.
Yep.
But he's kind of going through that, and at the end, she eventually goes like, "Yeah, good, all right."
Yeah,
just being unnecessarily threatening, seeming for a little bit to go like, "Yeah, cool."
Yeah, to give that scene a little bit of spice.
Yeah, and she wants to give those ships and the other cities with she's made aware that these are the slavers and everything from the other cities coming back. And Tyrion's like, so what do you want to do? And she goes, well, I'm going to fucking tear down their cities and destroy them. These motherfuckers ain't getting away from me. And he's like, your dad said something very similar about burning down a city.
Yeah, I don't think it was done in the way that we've spoken about, but it could very well have been a, like, someone says something and then the other person looks into the middle distance, is like, that reminds me of a personal story that sums up the themes of this particular issue. He kind of just does it more directly and he's like, don't do that because of your dad and the past.
Right, exactly, yeah. There's no subtext or anything. It's full-on bold underlined text.
Yes.
But, about, you know, how crazy it would be to tear down a city. Almost as though that's something that the viewer should be aware of as we come into the back end of this season here.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting. But yeah, you're right. What he says is your dad was crazy. He put, I think, wildfire under all the streets and he was going to, like, blow up the city and take all the civilians just down as well, which...
I like wildfire as much as the next person.
Yeah, remember when I used it to blow a bunch of people up?
But
yeah, he reminds her, like, if you burn a city down, then you burn down all of the innocent people as well.
Yeah. So they...
And that's bad.
...suggest another approach.
Mm-hmm.
And that approach is to meet up and have a chat with... there's, like, three... I guess they're, like, the main slaver bosses... We've seen a couple of them before, or at least the one on the right I recognized.
I recognize the middle guy, but yeah, they're basically like the heads of the masters from the different cities, I guess, or at least they're like the ambassadors.
Totally. And they meet up on sort of a hill above the city where everything's being blown up to discuss terms of surrender. And so... the three people are like, okay, you're going to get out of here. You're going to walk out of the city like the beggar queen that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to forfeit all rights to ever do anything again. You're fucked. Get out of here, basically, is what they say.
They specifically mentioned they want Missandei back so they can sell her.
Yeah, that's right. All the Unsullied, they're going to sell back. The Unsullied that she stole from Gribus Gronson, whatever his name was.
Yeah. Glorious Frankton.
They lay out all these terms for ages, and then Tyrion goes, oh, no, you misunderstood. We're here to discuss your surrender, which a very good no you are, but what am I?
Yeah, yeah.
That he pulls on him. And they're like, listen, dumbass, why would we surrender to you? Look at all these ships. Yeah. What could possibly beat a ship?
Look at all these flammable ships.
Yeah. We've got so many wooden war machines that there is no chance of them going up in flames. What do you think is going to happen? They'll spontaneously combust. Keyword dragon roar.
Yes, and then Daenerys goes, I'm going to fight wood with fire. And then, which is how that saying should be. It's... Fight fire with fire is just nothing. It doesn't. Well, that's going to make a bigger fire.
People misuse the saying as though it's a good thing. I bet fighting fire with fire was originally don't do that. Like, if someone's being a dick, don't fight fire with fire and be a dick as well because there's more fire. Yeah,
don't escalate the situation, basically.
Yeah, but people use it now as though they're like, yeah, I'm going to kick that dude's ass who kicked my ass.
Yeah. Violence is the answer to violence.
Well, it works here. Because, big old Drogon shows up. He's huge. Daenerys
he is.
Climbs onto the mechanical bull that they film with.
Yes.
When she's walking up, I could really see the green screen there.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I think, but the previous times this season as well, it has not looked great.
No. So off she gets. He's huge. Flies off. The other two dragons... somehow know that this is the moment to burst out of their jail like they could have done the whole time, I guess?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe because Daenerys is back, because she was gone for ages.
She was, but it's weird.
Yeah,
and like
know.
When Tyrion went down there, they clearly didn't want to come out. But it's something I didn't think about the first time I watched it, but they just... burst out of there, kind of just because you could see them sitting down and going, like, how do we get the other two dragons back? Does someone go down there? No, we don't have time. Just make them burst out.
Yeah. It's like, it reminds me of, there's a scene in one of the Fast and Furiouses where there's like a big chase and I think maybe Vin Diesel's running away and he like dodges through a doorway and shuts the door and the Rock's behind him and you're like, oh no, the door's shut. And then the Rock just bursts through the wall next to the door.
Yeah, and right.
It's just very, kind of, I think it's just a silly sort of Hollywood action sort of moment.
It is. And you don't think about it because the first time you're watching it, you're like, cool, Daenerys is getting it.
Mm.
But then they do the fucking stupid... I really hate her delivery of the Dracarys line here.
Yes, me too.
All the Dracarys shit is super lame, and that like dumb like cello noise is fucking too over the top.
Yep, she's leaning into like a little studio shot with green screen and stuff behind her. She says something that sounds like it's from Harry Potter, and yeah, it doesn't work for me.
No, agreed. But whatever, it's meant to be like a big badass thing. I think anyone being a badass doesn't really work, except for like four times ever. It was like Bruce Willis in the first Die Hard, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2.
Yeah, which
not
bit?
Even one.
Give me your like, clothes.
Maybe, or like more his gentle, gentle giant shtick that he has towards the end makes him, you know what I mean? The bit where he's shooting like the Gatling gun at the helicopter. Maybe.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. What do you think of the Clint Eastwood, you feeling lucky punk thing?
You feeling lucky punk? Nah, I don't know. It never worked for me.
I like him in the westerns where he barely talks, but I actually tried to watch Dirty Harry and it was not as good as I was hoping.
Yeah, I've never seen Dirty Harry, but I've seen that bit in like Back to the Future or something where it shows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either way. It's kind of lame, but then the Tyrion and all of them are like, see, we've got you fucked. One of you's got to die, so which one of you wants to die? The other two point to one of them in the middle, so Grey Worm kills those two.
Yep, a nice little bit of business. That's what you would do if you were writing the show. And that guy's like, oh, cool, I'm very grateful to be alive.
Yeah, and Tyrion's like, hey, make sure you tell everybody Daenerys won't take any shit if you start the slavery again, so see you later.
Yeah, off your pop.
So it's all good. They've settled it. Marines wrapping up here.
Yes, not to spoil anything, but yeah.
Yeah, they're getting everything sorted. So back in Winterfell, though, or outside Winterfell, everything's getting tenser. It's getting the opposite of sorted. Sort of a reverse Marie Kondo,
if you will. Everywhere. There's absolutely just shit everywhere. I'd forgotten this scene, and I really liked it. I thought it was great. Really, really well done. Yeah, very entertaining.
Mm. The main characters of each side... of this Jon Snow versus Ramsay battle here. Have a little day before the battle. Can we sort this out with words? Ramsay shows up all big and, you know, okay, I'm a man of mercy. If you kneel before me and admit that I'm the Lord of Winterfell, I'll let you scuttle off.
Yeah.
Which he absolutely would not.
No, he would have killed them immediately.
Yeah, he's like, nobody needs to die tomorrow. Let's fucking, you just admit that I'm the king in the north and we'll let it be. And John's like, okay, yeah, I agree. No one needs to die today. Just one of us. So why don't we just fight? And fuck, it's sick. What a good idea.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, like he's not the smartest guy in the world, Jon Snow, but he knows that he's a good fighter, man, and that is, I mean, Ramsay was never going to agree, but it was a nice little, like, throwing his dick down on the table, like, this is totally. Me, this is what I'm putting on the table, good this point. Is honestly the, this is actually the most honorable thing to do, and I know you're not going to do it.
Totally. And you can see why people are following John with stuff like that, where it's like, this guy is simple, but he's good. And that is something that's easy to follow, where you're like, this guy's too dumb to trick me, and I reckon he wants to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he can swing a sword.
He absolutely could, but he doesn't get the opportunity here, because Ramsay's like, nah, motherfucker. I've got your little brother, so what are you going to fucking do? And so, what does John say? I'm trying to remember, like, there's a bit where John's like, okay, well, that's right. Ramsay's like, I got like 5,000 men. What do you got? Maybe half of that? Fuck you.
And John's
yeah, you got a lot of men, but are they going to fight for you when they find out that you wouldn't fight for them? Ah, fuck John. You've nailed it. You've absolutely backed him into a corner here.
Yeah.
You would be on a YouTube compilation of big comebacks.
Of epic wins.
Epic wins. And then those glasses would fall onto his eyes and it would say, just do it, or whatever it says after that.
Deal with it. Deal with it.
So, they kind of...
Clearly Ramsay on the back foot there. He's been beaten in a battle of words and he doesn't know what to do. Or absolutely not that. He doesn't appear to be too perturbed by John. No. Despite the fact that you're right, what John is doing is inspiring and cool and all the right things.
Yeah. And then he's just still like, all right, well, you're going to get fucking slaughtered. You're going to get fucked up. I'm going to go home. Your brother's here. There's his wolf's head. Fuck you.
Yep. Yep.
And then
I'll be like, taking my wife back, I guess.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Thank you for bringing my wife back to me. Mm. And like mid-sentence, Sansa cuts him off. She's like, you're going to die tomorrow, Ramsay, you little fuck. You're a pretty boy, but you're a slimy little grub.
Yep. I loved that when she said that.
Great line.
Yeah.
And so Ramsay's like, oh, look, my dogs are hungry. They're going to love meeting you. I haven't fed them in a week. Mm. In the morning, bastard. And off he goes.
Off he trots with his little bunch of annoying dudes.
Now, one thing about John and his, if they were slightly less honorable, they could have put an arrow in his back right then.
Yeah.
But whatever. You got to do the right thing, I guess.
The rules of engagement. You got to follow the rules of engagement.
Yeah.
You got to ask the dad first.
You've got to...
You can propose.
Get the brother from... Everybody Loves Raymond and David Spade in the same room, and magic will happen, comedically speaking. I believe they were the people in Rules of Engagement.
No, it's Putty from Seinfeld and David Spade, I think.
Ah, what was the one with Everybody Loves Raymond's brother?
Oh, maybe he's in it too. I actually don't know.
I think Everybody Loves Raymond's brother is in it.
I'm going to look it up.
Boy, I can't remember though. What's his fucking name? Brad Garrett, that's it. He used to be on Celebrity Squares as well.
Right.
And there's a Celebrity Squares video game for the Wii.
Oh, hell yeah.
And if you select the Celebrity Square, it'll play a little clip, but it's only Brad Garrett's questions. So the other ones are just like little fucking people, and then Brad Garrett's in the middle. The rest are just like, Mike! And whatever.
Oh.
And then Brad Garrett's in the middle and you choose him and it'll play a clip of Celebrity Square. But it's just taken from the show, so it does cut to other squares.
Right.
So you'll select Brad Garrett and he'll go like, you know, give you the fake meant to be funny answer first. Where he's like, a chef from Saskatchewan.
And it's not funny. He doesn't sound like that at all.
A chef from
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
Raymond. Raymond, what are you doing?
It'll cut, though, to, like, Whoopi Goldberg. And she'll be, pretending to laugh. And then you go back, and Whoopi Goldberg's been replaced by someone named, like, Jessica.
Yeah. Great.
Anyway,
he was not in Rules of Engagement. It was Putty from Seinfeld and David Spade. Brad Garrett was in Till Death.
Very similar.
Yeah, very similar sitcom.
That's right.
Yeah.
God, it's funny to be married. So they're planning out the next day's battle that night, sitting around one of them tables again with all the little Warhammer figurines.
Yes.
And they, you know, they're kind of freaked out.
So basically, I found this really smart writing, and maybe it's obvious, but they basically say, great, I think we really riled Ramsay up there. We put his nose out of joint. John, all that stuff you did was really good. He's angry. He's going to come out firing. And all we've got to do is sit back, let him charge at us, and we'll dig some trenches. We'll surround his army. Bing, bang, boom. That's the best chance we've got. And yeah. Obviously the exact opposite happens in that the actual battle. But Yeah.
There's that rule that if they ever explain what's going to happen, for movies, the rule is if there's a plan that's about to be executed, if the explanation happens over the top of a montage of the actual thing taking place and going to plan, then you're all good. If the explanation happens in detail and then the plan is meant to take place in the next scene, it's going to fuck up.
Yes. Yeah. If they finish describing the plan and they all sit back and go, well, that's going
to
work.
Time to wait for this to pan out. Then turns out the Joker's actually one of the soldiers.
Yeah, he wanted to get arrested the whole time.
He wanted to get arrested for some fucking reason. So, yeah, they're having a big chat about it. They figure it out. Tormund's like, what's a pincer movement?
Oh, yeah.
John very condescendingly goes like, they're going to come at us from the sides.
Hard to sound condescending with that that accent, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah, they like John and Sansa have a bit of a talk afterwards as well. And she's like, why the fuck didn't you ask me about anything? I know Ramsay.
Yeah.
You just met him today.
Yeah.
Like, I know what he's going to do and you're fucked. None of this is going to work. Like, he's smarter than you. He's like real sneaky.
He likes to hurt people. He doesn't. He's not angry at all. He was enjoying that. And he is going to fuck you guys.
Yeah. And he's like, look, maybe I should have asked you. Sorry about that. But then kind of doesn't change any of their plans.
Totally. I can't remember exactly how that scene ends, but it doesn't end with him being like,
oh, so you're saying we need to change the whole plan up because this is a bad plan.
He's just like, I'll take that into consideration. Good night. Yeah.
So, and he's like, Sansa's like, we're not getting Rickon back. He's dead.
Yep. Yeah.
There's no way that Ramsay can let him live. He's like the biggest threat to Ramsay, way more than us. He's dead. So they just kind of go to bed after that. John's like, yeah, well, I'm lucky, so I'm just going to win.
Before he goes to bed, he talks to the Red Woman.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
What does he say to her?
He says, please don't bring me back from the dead if I die. It was the most horrific thing that anyone will ever experience, and I don't want to go through it again.
That's right. Yeah, that scene I thought was actually really important to be in there, despite the fact that I forgot about it. Because it does also set you up for, like, Melisandre goes, maybe the Lord of Light just brought you back to die again today. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yes. And she's like, it's not my power, okay? You came back because the Lord of Light let you come back the first time. Who knows what will happen the second time?
Yeah. So it kind of does set you up with, like, he could die. He could die today. The main character of this show at this point could die today.
Sure.
He doesn't. I mean, you've all seen the end of the episode.
Did you think that he would? Because there's obviously that moment, that moment, which is a really well done moment, where it's like, oh, he's going to die. I never thought he was going to die.
Again. There's a couple of them in the battle, but like, they could have had it happen and just everyone wins, but Sansa is the new leader. But no, he wasn't going to die.
No.
Because, yeah, anyway.
It's just too soon after him dying the first time. It just wouldn't have been narratively right, I don't think.
No, there wasn't a chance he was going to die. But
yeah,
that's all right. Stannis and Tormund have Stannis, fucking Davos and Tormund have a little talk about Stannis and about Mance Rayder, both of them being like, yes. Well, we both followed Kingzu. We thought we're going to be the one to help, but fucking weren't.
Yeah.
And then they're both kind of like, but Jon Snow's not a king, so I'm into him.
Yeah, it's the semantics. It's the terminology that was the issue. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to go have a big shit.
Yeah, Tormund's off to like drink a bunch of goat's milk.
Oh, yeah, fermented goat's milk. Yeah, yeah.
And Davos needs to go for a walk the night before a battle, which, yeah. Uh-oh, it's a shame he did, because he goes and finds where Shireen was burnt.
Yeah.
And finds that little deer. Pretty lucky.
Yeah, huge coincidence. Wow. But he's not pleased. I don't know if that's just my reading, but I don't think he's pleased.
He looks a little bit angry.
Again, one of the more subtle moments in the show that I think only I've picked up on.
Then the sun's rising behind him and you hear the trumpets of battle.
Yes.
Oh, shit. a fight's about to start. Before the fight, though, I like this little scene.
Yeah, me too. Another one. I've forgotten a lot of stuff in this episode that wasn't the battle. This is a good scene.
Mm. Tyrion is given a talking to Theon Greyjoy. Theon and Yara have come over to Daenerys. They're standing there being met in a court. Mm-hmm. And Tyrion's given Theon a big fucking tongue lashing, going, last time I saw you, I'm pretty sure you were making jokes about my height, weren't you? Like you thought you'd fucking invented them.
Mm.
Well, look who's got no dick now, dumbass.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's short? Something that's cut off completely. That's short.
And they have a nice back and forth here. Daenerys is like, all right, Yara, why should I listen to you? Because Theon's like, oh, I'm just here to hang out. Like, she's the one who you're talking to. I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And him admitting he's a piece of shit seems to make Tyrion and Daenerys both go like, oh, okay, maybe these two are okay.
Yeah, yep.
Yara tells them about, like, so our uncle showed up. He's coming here. He wants to marry you. Don't do it. He's a fucking weirdo. She's like, why? He's got a lot of ships.
Mm.
She's like, yeah, but I got a fair few ships and he sucks. Fuck you.
Yeah. She Yara's like, he's coming. He wants to make an alliance, but on the proviso that you guys get married. So that might not be a good thing because he's a bad guy.
Exactly. Just a heads up. You need to be able to marry someone when you go back over to Westeros, probably, if you want to form an alliance.
Yes.
And like, sure, I'm up for eating anybody out, but I ain't getting married. This is just me saying that, by the way. I've forgotten the rest of the scene.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, glad to get this on record then.
But yeah, they end up doing that weird handshake that everyone seems to do over there where you just grip each other's arm.
The monkey grip, yeah. It's weird.
The monkey grip, that famous dance from the 60s.
Yes.
And Daenerys makes them promise, like, all right, if I kind of help you guys out, when everything's all done and dusted, the Iron Islands do not go around raping and pillaging anymore. That's done.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, that's culturally insensitive. That's what we do.
Yeah. Yara's immediately like, but that's our way of life. As though she can't see why anyone would ask them to stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, motherfucker, I don't give a shit. What are you talking about? That's your way of life. You're stopping. Yeah, and they agree. And they're done.
They agree. Yeah.
So now we ramp up into what I think, quite genuinely, is maybe the best medieval style battle ever put on film.
Well, my first thought was, as I was watching it, was, and it's not, like, not the first time that thought's been had, this is Saving Private Ryan for, yeah, people with swords.
Totally.
Yeah.
And what would that be? Saving Ryan.
Saving Brother Rickon.
Saving Brother Rickon, yeah. It's so well fucking done, this whole sequence here.
Absolutely. It's aside from takeaway plot stuff, which I think that Game of Thrones also maybe has, maybe like the pinnacle of TV writing, I think this is the best action in any TV show.
It's great. So they start off with like just a big shot of all the kind of Jon's forces. There's quite a lot of them. They're doing okay.
Yeah.
Um, And then there's, yeah, the Boltons have set up like a whole bunch of their like sort of flayed man burning cross things in the battlefield, which is a pretty, it's a good scary image.
Yep, it's a definitely good scary image.
It's intimidating. If you were in a battle and you saw a bunch of them, like if you start thinking about it and you're like, someone had to come out and build this, that's kind of lame actually. But it looks spooky.
I mean, this is the Mitchell and Webb sketch, but what are the guys on the Bolton side thinking when they're putting together burning crosses with flayed corpses on them? Like, are they thinking they're the good guys? Surely that's... ugh. It's just,
A lot of people have sort of... I could see how, like, historically this has happened a million times, that if people think they're burning the right people, they will burn people.
Yeah.
And not really think twice about it. They're always wrong about it in context, but whatever, we burn a million people. I've paid for about 6,000 lethal injections.
I just want to go on the record. I've not paid for any executions. Okay?
I've paid to make them happen. I've paid to see them. Yeah.
But no, like that's also fair. Yes, the people, the quote unquote good side also cut people's heads off and put them on spikes. Like that is not exclusive to the evil forces of history.
Yeah. And like, doing it in this sort of showy way. I don't know. You're right. It's like, it's crazy. They are very bad. The Bolts.
They're very, very bad.
And then this bit is the bit where you'd be like, actually, what the fuck are we doing here when Ramsay rides through the middle of this big pack of soldiers and they all look way better equipped? John's forces are all like, you know, ragtag and whatever. Mm-hmm. The Boltons all have very uniform uniforms. They got a lot of big, nice shields and everything. They're all painted.
Yeah.
And then Ramsay rides through them and he's pulling something behind him on a rope. You can't see until they reveal that it's Rickon tied up. And it's very tense, this whole bit. It's really well done.
Yeah.
He kind of comes out with Rickon, puts him down there. John gets off his horse and walks slightly closer to get a better view.
Yeah, about five paces closer. Like, oh,
yeah.
it's a dog, I think.
What is that? I need to walk, nine steps. No, it's my brother. I see.
Yeah.
So Ramsay brings him out.
He takes out a knife.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, I guess he's going to kill him straight away.
Looks like he's going to slice that boy.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Just slices the ropes. Oh, phew. He's had a change of heart.
Yeah. He's letting him go free. Excellent.
There are a couple of those sort of back and forth things that happen here where it's like, here's the knife and the music's building to a swell. Oh, he just cut the rope. And then later on, it's like, oh, the music's building to a swell and here comes the arrow. Oh, the arrow missed him. Like, it does absolutely do that a couple of times.
I've never seen a more blatant misdirect than when it's that, like, fourth arrow. And it's like, oh, I guess he must be getting away now. But yes, very,
so Ramsay's
very
like,
clear.
We're going to play a little game here. I'm the guy from Saw. You just run to your brother, and I'm going to shoot these arrows at your back. Go on.
Yep.
I remember at the time, everyone being like, why didn't he zigzag? Ramsay's a fucking pretty good shot. I reckon he'd have still got him.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Ramsay wouldn't have done this at all if he thought he was not going to. Like, it's almost, to me, it feels like Ramsay chooses when to kill him.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think Ramsay's ever missing, and I think he waits until the last moment to kill him.
We've seen Ramsay be great with a bow before as well.
Yep.
Like when he was doing all the people hunting. He's done this heaps.
Yes.
So, John kind of rides up in a very dumb hero fashion, rides towards him, tries to grab Rickon.
Successfully drawn out.
Totally. And Rickon's dead. He's got an arrow through his chest eventually, lying on the ground, dead. And then there's, you know, John looking at Ramsay. John wearing, by the way, a fucking awesome looking battle skirt thing. Looks sick.
Yeah, totally. Everyone is very well costumed in this episode. I think.
Yeah. This one and the one we're going to talk about next week. Great costume work.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah.
So, there's close-ups of John and Ramsay's faces looking at each other back and forth. And I did like the way they acted this, like, conversation of, have I got you? And John's like, yeah, you got me. I'm coming at you. And Ramsay's like, cool. I love that shit.
I love it. I'm going to kill you. And so I'm all my troops.
So John starts fucking riding real hard at Ramsay. Big volley of arrows come towards him. And like Tormund and shit are back there and Davos going like, don't do it, dumbass.
Yeah.
Of course John does it. He's a dumbass.
He's a dumbass. If he's one thing, it's passionate.
Yeah.
He's a passionate dumbass.
And so he starts bolting at the Boltons.
Yeah. There we go.
And then, there's just really cool like shots of all the rest of the army. Davos is like, all right, everyone fucking get ready. And they all start getting ready. Good order followers. The big volley of arrows starts coming at John. Eventually, one of them gets his horse. He's on the ground.
Horse goes down. He rolls. He's standing there, sword at the ready.
Bolton horses are running towards him.
That shot's fantastic. It's that sort of split focus sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, he's fucked. And then...
Because there's a couple of shots just before it of the other horses, like, kind of slow motion running towards the battle.
Mm-hmm.
John's horses. And, like, just that whole build-up there is fucking great.
It's so good. And then the clash of the clans, as you could refer to it as, is so well done. It is brutal. Like, you feel the thump as the forces collide. It's so good.
It's just a big mess. No one's like kind of, ting, ting, ting. Ah, I got you. Ha ha. Bested. It's all like dirty and gross and like fucking chaotic and you can't tell who's who.
Totally. Just like the power and the force behind like guys like riding through and then getting stabbed on spears and flinging them off and bouncing off each other and getting cut in half. And it's so violent. Like it's violence in a way that makes you feel it.
Totally. That like faked single shot too is really good.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Just little bits and pieces where like, of course this horse riding up to John with an axe isn't going to get him, but it looks like it is.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're like, oh no.
It's all done so quickly as well. I don't think you ever have a moment to catch your breath and be like, oh, he's not gonna get killed by that, because you're just looking left and right as other things start flying through the field of vision.
Totally. He does the very Saving Private Ryan thing of grabbing another soldier. He's like, tell someone to go, and then boom, an arrow through the guy's eye.
Yeah. He gets shell shocked at one point. Which is maybe a little much, but yeah.
But he acts it well. Tormund runs up and grabs him and he's like, hey, are you here? And he's like got the crazy eyes and he's covered in blood and dirt. It's fucking sick. And he's a good sword fighter. And I reckon this is Kit Harington being like, okay, this is the right guy for the job.
Yes, I completely agree. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, man, if this makes him worthwhile, because he does this very well. He honestly does the confrontation stuff well as well before the battle. Yeah. He does a lot of stuff after the battle, this episode and next episode, where you're like, yeah, fuck, I get it now.
Totally. Yeah. So, everyone's fighting. Kung fu fighting, you could say.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Big pile of bodies is building up. There's a cool bit where everyone's sort of, it's going between Davos and Ramsay, and they're both like, knock your arrows, ready your bows. And then Davos is like, ah, fuck, we're just going to hit our own men. Don't worry about it. And Ramsay's just like, absolutely kill our men and theirs. Who gives a shit?
Yes. Yeah, that shot, because it's just before what happens next, where it's a pile of bodies, you know, like it's not that big. They showed like this wide shot of like, you know, it's about 20 meters wide by about 100 meters long, and it's just a pile of dead guys. And you can see the rest of them on the left and the right, and it just makes it look so kind of dumb and wasteful and insignificant in that shot, which is what it is.
Yeah. The idea of a battlefield is so silly and outdated in a weird way.
Just seeing, a pile of 1,000 guys dead and like 17 guys fighting makes it look so wasteful and stupid.
Totally. And so they're all Davos and all of the ones who have hung back, who the archers all run up.
Yep.
Everybody's kind of there, and then Ramsay does this move. He orders them to do this move. There's all these shield people who surround them, mm-hmm. and then a bunch of pikemen who put some yep. pikes down, and they do a very scary, like, oh, oh, like a noise as they move towards them.
Yes.
And they're all boxing. Fucked. Yeah, yes. Tim Allen. 100 Tim Allens. And John's because they did not see this coming, but they're fucked. They're getting pushed back.
All of the soldiers, are just peeking over the top of the shields like Wilson.
Yeah. even one the giant, who a moment earlier was punching a horse to death, is stuck in this thing, like can't break through these shields.
Yep.
So they really look fucked. They're done for.
They really look fucked. They keep trying to push their way through, and they get thrown back in. Like, it's just, it's hopeless.
So people start climbing over the dead bodies, but unfortunately, old fucking Karr Stark, who has a few seconds ago, he's like, "Who owns the North?" And everyone's like, "We do." He's like, "Who owns the North?" They're like, "Yeah, it's us." And he's like, "Show me then, dumbass."
Yep.
But he's a very intimidating man. And he stands over the top of these bodies and starts swiping. And they're coming over from the top of the body pile.
Yeah.
So everyone's done for.
Yep.
People start scrambling to try and get away. John is getting trampled.
Yeah. He's squashed. He's squashed in the bloody trash compactor, and he's not getting out.
And as much as, you know, yeah, he wasn't going to die, it's well done, this, but I think getting trampled, it's like, I would fucking hate that.
Yeah, it's very...
As I imagine most people would.
I'd actually be into it. It's claustrophobic, it's tense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right, I'm not in that moment really thinking about, oh, is this character in this show going to survive for plot reasons? I'm thinking I'm thinking I would hate to be in that position myself.
You feel it, your breathing gets difficult. It's, yeah... Mm. It's very well done. Yeah. So anyway, he gets out, obviously.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a fight. No one looks like they're going to win. Everyone's looking around at each other like, ah, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Wow. What was that? Was that the "we're still fucked and nothing's going to change here" trumpet?
Yeah. Was that the trumpet of surrender that I got that one guy to bring?
Here come the bloody Knights of the Vale.
And there's a fuck ton of them.
There's so many.
Yeah. There's more than the total forces that are left combined.
And they are all on horses, and they absolutely swipe through everybody.
They look better outfitted than the Boltons.
Totally.
They're knights. They're all knights. They're all the best of the best.
Yeah. And it's Littlefinger and Sansa have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when Sansa rode out to wherever Littlefinger was or where he was, but whatever. They're
whatever.
Here now.
They don't have ladies in battles, so no one was watching her, and so off she went.
And off she went. I don't know where Littlefinger was stationed with all of these people. We won't join the battle at the start. We'll wait until about 2,000 people die.
Yeah. It's both unrealistic that they were close enough to get there at all, without being noticed, and yeah, it's weird that they were close enough, but they couldn't have been there earlier.
Right, but so they show up and they save the day. They swipe through all the sort of surrounding people very easily.
Yes.
And John, Tormund's been fighting Karr Stark. He rips out his neck with his teeth.
Yeah.
And then Ramsay retreats back to Winterfell. And Sansa watches.
Just Ramsay. Ramsay and two other guys.
Yeah.
They're just on a hill, and he's like, "I'm going to bounce. See you guys."
Yeah,
leave
I
you
actually
to get slaughtered.
Left the oven on back there. So I'm going to go and hide in that oven.
Yes.
And John, Tormund, and 1-1 the Giant all kind of run up after him, looking kind of like video game characters for some reason.
I liked that scene, that shot. I'm not exactly sure why, but it started to feel at this point very sort of end of a big buddy movie sort of thing. Like the team, they put together the plan, and now they're off to fucking, I don't know, it just felt like a very cool moment.
I think because they've each got such a specific look, and John's battle dress looks really cool.
Yes.
Him it's running up the hill is a good shot. Just,
yeah.
So, Ramsay's back in Winterfell. He's like, don't worry about it. We've got a million onions here. I'm going to eat them. We can survive a siege. As long as we stay locked up in here behind our big safe door, we'll be okay. Boom. What was that noise? Was that the safety bang? 1-1 fucking punches the door to pieces.
Yeah.
People are shooting arrows in it. He's got a million fucking arrows in him.
I didn't notice this the first time I watched it. He puts his hand through and then he gets shot with an arrow and he just rips his hand up.
Yeah.
He just like rips through the flesh.
It looks fucking painful.
Oh, yeah, real bad.
But, yeah.
He ends up looking like a reverse porcupine.
He does. Or like, I guess it's just a regular, oh, I guess the spikes are on the inside. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's a piney pork.
Yes, exactly.
And he falls to his knees as he gets in. He's like, oh, fuck. Oh, talk about a bad hair day. And then everyone else is like, what do you mean? And he's like, sorry. I know it doesn't actually mean anything when I said, but I have got a lot of arrows in me. I ain't thinking straight. He gets one final arrow, boom, through the eye. He's dead as shit.
You know who shoots that arrow?
Oh, God, whoever it is, it'd make me hate them and really be rooting for them to lose. Who was it?
It was bloody Ramsay Bolton.
Oh, I already didn't like him. And now, just before some combat, I've been made to like him even less.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe this.
You hope that he loses.
Yeah. And he's standing there surrounded by people pointing loaded bows at him.
Mm-hmm.
And very smarmily, very Ramsay-ishly, he goes, yesterday you offered to have a one-on-one fight. I've reconsidered. I think that sounds like a wonderful idea.
Mm.
So he starts shooting arrows at John, who quickly picks up a shield and blocks those arrows real easy.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Oh, man, this dude looks tough as shit. Imagine if you saw a guy do that, you'd be like, holy fuck, that dude's sick.
I completely agree.
He just put the shield down between each of the arrows. He's a fucking psycho.
You could call that badass.
You could. I think you could.
Yeah, it's the definition of
that dude's
of
like
badass.
Fucking Bruce Willis in Die Hard 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he takes the arrows. Ramsay's fucked. He whacks him with the shield and just absolutely pummels the fuck out of him.
Yeah, you can hear like the squelching noises of his face starting to break.
Yeah, he really beats him up.
Yep.
At some point, sees Sansa looking on, and he's like, oh, right, she should probably have a part of this.
Yep.
And that's it. They've fucking gotten in there, and you see a shot of all of the dumb Burning Man banners dropping down. And the Winterfell Stark banners being hung back up.
Oh, yes.
For the first time since, like, season one or something.
God, yeah, it's been ages because fucking Theon got in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yonks ago. Yonky tonks.
Absolute yonky tonks.
John says, let's go bury Rickon.
Yeah, we'll chuck him next to Dad.
Yep.
And then Davos gives Melisandre a very pointed look of like,
oh, yes.
I know you burnt Shireen up, you motherfucker.
Yeah, and we're going to have words.
We are going to have words and hopefully swords.
The words like, fuck and you.
He walks in, you fuck.
It still works.
It does. So yeah, and then Sansa says to John, like, all right, so where is he? And Ramsay's been tied up in his dog kennel. Sansa looking on going like, and he like, I've forgotten he says this, but he's like, even like, I'm done, I know that, but I can never die, I'm a part of you now because of what I did. And she's like, nah, everyone will forget about you. You're a piece of shit. You're dead. Your dogs are hungry. He's like, they're loyal beasts. They'll never eat me. She's like, well, they will. You fuck.
She's like, you just mentioned before that you starved them for a week. I don't think they're going to be so loyal. And even if they are, they're fucking hungry.
Yeah. It's very weird seeing like a cute little pooch with its big doe eyes size somebody up and then bite their face.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. It's funny, yeah, that you're like, oh, the dogs are on our side now. And then they rip someone's jaw off.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, maybe dogs are just dangerous sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But those dogs absolutely tear him to shreds and he's screaming. And honestly, it's quite satisfying.
It's very satisfying. I loved it. I loved it the first time. I loved it this time. Fuck him. I wish you saw more of what happened to him because
You see a pretty vivid fucking dog biting the face shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it cuts away.
You see like his hand all bloodied, like, ah.
Yeah. You see everything above the shoulder start to bleed onto his hands. It's pretty gross. And that's the end of Ramsay Bolton, a stupid cunt who deserved to die.
Totally. And does. Like, one of the very few times in this show where someone who had a comeuppance heading their way absolutely got it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That's a good call. We get
like
a few
from the good guys
of build up. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Not from
all that build up.
Yep, a whole bunch of build up for that big orgasm right at the end. Well, and yeah, like Sansa kills him, not just like some other evil cunt looking to do their thing, rather.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Revenge.
And she walks away looking pretty pleased with herself, and you're kind of like, ooh, okay, is she actually maybe a bit fucked up from all this?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
That's the end of that episode. Battle of the Bastards, it's called. I believe that's the official name of it. Yep.
Yep.
Season 6, episode 9, the best episode of Game of Thrones.
Definitely the fight is like the best combat shit in a TV show or so, definitely so far in Game of Thrones.
Yes, definitely. I think it's probably taking all aspects of the show, it's probably the best episode so far, as in like up until season 6, episode 9.
Yeah.
We'll talk about next episode.
Yeah. Can they one up it for a finale?
It's who? Generally they don't. They go, no. 9 is the big one, 10 is the transition to the following season.
Well, and they've done, like, there are two main things to Game of Thrones. It's like at some point it became the big fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And the big story moments.
Yes.
So to beat this one with big fight scenes, you'd imagine they'd need to have the big story moments next episode.
Yeah, and it'd have to be huge for it to one-up this episode. Like massive.
One after another, it'd have
massive
to be as well.
Repercussions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
unfortunately.
But yeah, that's the end of this episode for first-time watchers. If you'd like to email us about that episode, we'd love to hear what you thought of it if it was your first time. We'll talk about Season 6, Episode 10 next week. Mm-hmm. But for now, first-timers, goodbye. For people who've seen the show before...
And don't mind spoilers.
To take a little walk on the sealed side. It's the sealed section.
Here we are.
We're in the sealed section.
Not heaps to say for me this week, just because a lot of this is kind of wrapping up stuff rather than putting other stuff into motion, I guess, from memory of this episode.
Like, I think this is going to happen more and more. It's just like, yeah, cool. Daenerys is getting ready to come to Westeros and she'll be there in like two episodes' time. Ramsay's dead. Littlefinger keeps sowing the seeds of discontent with Sansa, but, you know,
more
like...
that happens next episode anyway, really.
And we know that doesn't lead anywhere. Or at least it hasn't led anywhere to this point.
True.
Yeah, I guess it could come back and someone could be like, remember what you did to Littlefinger in season 8? I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, no one will care about
no
that.
No one gives a shit about that, dude.
We got an email from Fidel in Manchester. At least I don't. This is not his theory, but he mentioned that Lady Crane, the actor that Arya takes a shine to.
Oh yeah.
There's a theory that she's one of the faceless men and is part of a big. Just the whole thing is a test.
Oh yeah.
But I don't. Apparently, there's also a theory that Cirio Pharrell was a faceless man because obviously he's from Braavos. That's the link.
Yeah.
He's also a teacher of Arya, and in her storyline, her teachers have been Jack and Hagar and Cirio Pharrell.
And kind of Sandor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Hound's in there as well for me. I don't really buy the theory, nor do I think it it doesn't matter is probably the main thing.
No, it would be see, the whole thing was your training. Look at that. And you'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That still doesn't really improve the bits in the middle.
Yes.
And like, Cirio does die off screen in the first series, but him coming back to be like, and now you're a real Jedi, you'd still be like, oh.
Well, why don't you just tell me, idiot?
And I don't think that it will have any impact in the upcoming season, like in terms of the story.
No. It would just be
kind
of an arbitrary twist to throw in there.
Yes, exactly. Which is what so many of the theories around shows like this are or lead to. It's like, okay, yeah. So you've got to say, aha, in one scene, but why does that make the story better? It doesn't? Yeah. Oh, that's probably not true then.
Generally, the sort of twist where it's like something that you thought was a different character was actually this character.
Yeah.
Tend to not be great.
Agreed. And a lot of the time, the ones where it's like, actually, it was time travel all along. Not that great either. Still a theory that is in play, though, with Bran.
Well, I think he'll almost definitely... I mean, it has to involve time travel just because of what's already happened in the show.
Sure. Like the stuff that, like the time travel stuff that has been in the show has been very well done. Like the Hodor twist was great. I think a lot of that stuff has been interesting. Like him getting to see Ned and Lyanna and Jon being born and stuff. Like that's great stuff that adds to the story. So maybe they'll pull it off. Maybe they'll do a good time travel twist.
I'm getting more and more excited about that season to start and to actually just see the end here.
Me too. Me too. Having watched next week's episode already, definitely in that boat as well.
Yeah, because next week is the episode that will come out next week about episode 10. that's the real shit.
Oh, it's real. It's the episode spectacular.
Sets everything up for the end. It's like the end of Act 2, I guess, or something like that, or the start of Act 3 or whatever. I don't really think about it in terms of acts or whatever because obviously you can't, but it really... It's almost like it's the end of Season 6.
I guess that's a okay way to put
it. Just how I look at it, just how I sort of view it.
I do think that the start of Act 3. I don't think that the show is going to end well. I don't think that George R. R. Martin has written the end of the story because I don't think he knows how to end it. And I don't think that the TV show guys are any more skilled at plot writing than George R. R. Martin is. That is how I feel. But I'm really excited to see if I'm right or wrong.
I think the fact that it is an ending will be satisfying regardless of what the ending is. Possibly. I think there's only one or two ways it can ultimately go, though, right? Is everybody's happy or most people are sad. As in the characters in the show.
Yes. I think so. I think that they go, we've figured out what would be a narratively and character justified resolution for all of their stories, and that's good. Or the White Walkers win, everyone dies, and that was always going to happen, global warming, the end.
Yeah, either of which could be pulled off well, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, it is just a question of, it will come down to details. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to watch and see.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
It's a hell of a fucking job. I'm not jealous of having that job, of having to end this fucking show.
No.
But, yeah,
you know,
I guess.
What I think I could do.
End the podcast?
The podcast, yeah. I think I could do that in a really satisfying way that ties everything up, but leaves you with a tease at maybe a little bit more from this world.
Mm.
Bye. All right, I'm stopping recording.